again this morning. It is good to be in the house of the Lord today. I hope that you've received a blessing already today in the services that we've had. I want to thank all those who blended in their voices this morning and those who played for us to lift up praises to the Lord. Thank our Sunday school teachers for their diligent work to bring us the Word of God. I know that it takes a lot of work to prepare lessons, and I know especially when you're working with the little ones, sometimes you wonder if it's all worth it, but seeds are being sown. Seeds are being sown, and we pray that God would give the increase. I do continue to pray for the services this morning, that we would honor and glorify the Lord, that He might bless us in such a way to clear our hearts and minds from the things of the world, and listen to the words that He has given us this morning. And continue to pray, not just for the services this morning, but do pray for the ones tonight. Now, some of them told me they had to leave a little early today, so I'm going to maybe try to talk a little faster, but I won't talk that fast. So this morning, I am going to bring a subject to you out of the book of Matthew. We're going to be looking at the last hours in Jesus' life, so to say, His last night in particular. But we're not going to necessarily be focusing upon Jesus Himself. We're going to be focusing actually primarily on Peter as we discuss the topic this morning that I've entitled, How to Backslide. How to Backslide. Now, before we get started in the message itself, we might consider, well, what is backsliding in the beginning? What does it mean to backslide? That's a foreign term to many people. Well, first of all, I want you to know this, that if you're saved here by the grace of God this morning, that you are secure in His hands. There will never come a time that whenever you get involved in sin, whatever it is, that God will say, that's it, that's the final straw, I'm going to kick you out of heaven, it's no longer going to happen for you. No, you are secure in the hands of God. Eternally secure. Now, I know that some people who listen to the broadcast and maybe here even visiting, maybe that's a foreign concept to them. Maybe they grew up in free willism. They believe that a person can be lost and saved and lost and saved over and over when they get involved in sin. But the truth is that you cannot find one instance in the Word of God, whether it be in the New Testament or Old Testament, where it ever says that man lost his salvation. You just can't find it. It is not there. But you know what? There are, unfortunately, times whenever a person moves away from God. This is what we call backsliding. Those times when we are like that one who strayed away from the flock of the 99. You know, one of my favorite songs is Come Thou Fount. And one of the reasons I love it is because that verse in it that says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the Lord I love, the God I love, actually. And you know what? That's my nature. That's my nature. My nature is to wander. My nature is to leave the God I love. And you know what? If we're honest, that's the nature of everyone here today. The nature of everyone here. So this morning we want to look at the signs. The signs that we might be in the process of backsliding. In the process of withdrawing from our fellowship and our relationship with Christ. Backsliding does not usually happen all at once. It usually is a gradual process that takes us away from the fellowship of the Lord. The devil will push you back little by little so that you do not realize the depths that we are falling into. Let me assure you folks this morning that even if you're here today, that doesn't mean that you're not backslidden. Folks, you can sit in the church building. I've sat on many occasions in the pew and been backslidden as could be. So just because you're here doesn't mean that this isn't your condition today. So if you would turn in your Bibles with me, and I would ask that everyone turn. If you don't have a Bible, hold your hand up. Somebody will get you one. But Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 26, we're going to remain in this chapter. We're going to remain in these verses. It's going to be easy to follow along today. Matthew chapter 26, verse 31 is where we will start. And immediately, most of you all will recognize this scripture here is following the Last Supper with His apostles, and Christ is now departing into the Mount of Olives. And this is where He will spend His last fleshly night upon this earth. It begins in verse 31, and it says, "Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you unto Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples." Step one in backsliding is shown to us here in these verses. It is boastfulness. Boastfulness. You know, we always look straight to Peter here in these verses. But I want you to notice that all of the disciples went along with him agreeing. They were all boastful. And by the way, all of them fell this night too, though we're particularly looking at Peter. But Peter said that he would die for Christ, that he would die with Christ, that he would not deny him. And you know what? When Peter made that declaration, he truly meant it with all of his heart. We'll see that later on as we continue reading. But you know what his problem was? Is that he had a higher opinion of his piety and his devotion to the Lord than what he truly had. And you know what? We shouldn't be too harsh on Brother Peter. Because truth is that most of us in our life have felt the same way. You know what? We may not openly boast about how great our faith is, but oftentimes we think to ourselves we're just a little bit stronger than the person who sits next to us in the pews. As a matter of fact, we tend to look around sometimes and think about all the dangers that everybody else is in and backsliding, but thinking that we're the most doctrinally sound and we're not the one that's going to fall. Maybe you've thought that at times. There is no doubt that Peter was the foremost of the apostles. Like himself, the other apostles probably looked at Peter and thought, this man is unshakable, that he would never fall. But Peter was a bit prideful. And pride leads to boasting. Whether it be loud, like Peter did here, or even if it be inwardly. You know, like Sarah when she laughed inside herself. God still hears. God still hears that boasting within. You know what? God hates pride. God hates pride, and He hates boasting. I want you to know something. The one who sits in the best seat in this church is the one who realizes they could fall at any moment. That's the safest seat to be in. Let's continue reading. Matthew 26, verse 36. "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter, the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face, prayed, saying, O my Father, if it were possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep. He saith unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? As dark Calvary, as the cross awaits these men, awaits Jesus Christ here in the very near future. Jesus took really his best friends, it seems, upon this earth, Peter, James, and John. And he asked them to watch. Watch for the coming of the soldiers. Watch for the coming of Judas who would betray him. Watch not for hours, but just for a little bit of time. Watch with me while I pray. But the night was late, and their eyes grew tired. They began to watch after Christ like I watch the nightly news. And that's not very long. My wife will tell you, I fall asleep pretty quick. Here in what we've read is the second step to backsliding. And that is failure to keep watching. I've told you many times about the wall that was built around Jerusalem in the days of Nehemiah. And there, as they were working upon the walls, we came across Scripture as we were studying it, and it said that they divided it up. And the people who would work on the walls, they would sit there with their trowel in one hand, their sword on the other hand. But above them was somebody who was continually looking out and watching. Watching for what? Watching for the enemy all of the time. Ever ready to fight. We are commended daily to put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because there is a battle out there to withstand the wiles of the devil. We have an enemy that Peter described because Peter fully knew is just like a lion, ready to devour whomever he can. And brothers and sisters, you are the prey. You're the prey. The devil's not after the lost of the world. He's already got them in his back pocket. He's after you. We're called to be watchful servants, watching for Satan at all times, watching for the day of the Lord, when Jesus Christ will return again. But you know what? For Christians here, especially I believe in the U.S., it's so easy. So easy to take our eyes off the things of God and stop watching for the coming of the Lord. Instead, focus our eyes upon the things of this world. And you know, we're all prone to it. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. The devil will take your eyes off God by filling up your schedule, putting you in activity after activity, keeping you late after work, whatever it might be. You know what? A lot of churches don't have activities going on. They got something going on every single night for this group and that group and that group. And you try to go to everything, and you know what happens? Your eyes are still taken off God because you're so busy trying to fulfill everything you got to fulfill. So God help us to keep our eyes fixed upon Him. Let's move to step 3. Verse 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Christ didn't just want these men to watch. He wanted them to pray as well. Pray for him in this hour of trouble. Pray for him in the hours that are soon to come. Pray for themselves, that the Lord might keep that hedge around them. But again, they would fall asleep and they would not pray. The third step in backsliding for the Christian is prayerlessness. For the Christian, there is no greater way to gain a closeness with God than through prayer. Prayer draws us closer to God. Prayer helps us to learn how to depend on God. Prayer shows us God's will for us in our life. God is the only one you can tell everything you've ever done, everything that's upon your mind, and He'll still love you afterwards. God already knows the secrets of our hearts anyway, folks. We can pour out our hearts to Him in prayer. It's no wonder we're commended in Scripture to, what, pray without ceasing. That is to be in an attitude where you can go into prayer at all times. And you know, prayer is not just for times, folks, that we call upon someone to pray in church. It's not just for, you know, before you eat your breakfast, lunch, or dinner. It's not just for those times. Or when you put your kids to bed. We're commanded in Scripture to what? To go into our prayer closets. Wherever that might be, whether it's in your car on the way to work or whatever it might be, your special time of prayer, to go before the Lord and to pour your hearts out to Him. When we begin to take less time for prayer in our life, take less thought of God, things begin to break down. You know what? If I never talk to my wife, or I quit calling her to see how her day was going or whatever, she'd begin to wonder if I loved her. And our relationship would grow colder and colder. And you know what? The same is true with our relationship with Christ. When we quit calling upon His name to be our ever-present counselor, when we forget to call upon His name and confess our sins before Him, we find ourselves slipping further and further away from God. So folks, don't forget to pray. Pray not just a couple times a day. You know, prayer doesn't have to be known for its long speaking. Sometimes people think they got to pray for these long prayers. You don't need to do that. Sometimes prayer is just a few words. You know what? That's how it is for me most of the day. It's just a few words here and there. Lord, help me in this. Lord, I'm thinking of this person. Help them right now, Lord. Just pray. Now the Scripture we're reading goes on further here to show us how Christ again repeated this process of coming back to Peter, James, and John two more times. Christ gave them warning after warning of their falling away. But yet they kept falling asleep at the wheel. They would not watch and they would not pray. You know what I'm reminded of as Christ came back to them a couple times and said, wake up, wake up. Can't you just pray with me a little while? You know what? God gives us so many chances in life when we're backsliding, folks. He sends that child sometimes. He sends a friend sometimes. He sends someone along the way to say a few words, to say, wake up. Wake up! Don't you see where you're falling? Let's move on. Matthew, verse 46. Let's start here. Matthew 46 says, rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? And they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Look here at verse 51. We'll zero in here. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew forth his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Scripture here in Matthew doesn't tell us that this was Peter, but if we turned over to the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verse 10, we find out that this was indeed Peter who did this act. We also find out that the servant's name was Malchus. This is the last recorded miracle that Jesus did, with the exception of the great miracle that he did on Calvary's cross to save our souls. And you know what? I believe that Scripture records that servant's name, Malchus, for one reason. That man was eventually saved. I mean, I don't have Scripture to back it up, but there's no other need to say his name other than that. But again, back to Peter. This is now our fourth step in backsliding, and that is serving the flesh. Serving the flesh. Peter thought that the kingdom of God could be taken by force. He was trying to back up the words that he boastfully said earlier that he would die for Christ. And he tried. Listen, Peter wasn't aiming for an ear. Peter was aiming for a head. Solomon in the book of Proverbs says these faithful words, Proverbs 14:12, "There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And then it goes on to say a couple verses later in verse 14, "The backslider in his heart shall be filled with his own ways." The backslider in his heart shall be filled with his own ways. Peter was guilty of leaning more toward the flesh than to the will of God. He took matters into his own hand. Listen, in our body there is a constant struggle between two natures all the time, even when we're saved. There is the way of the flesh, and there is the way of the Spirit. The Spirit is willing, as we read earlier, but the flesh indeed is weak. There will never be a time in our lives when we begin to backslide that we aren't at the same time giving ourselves over to the things of the flesh. Giving ourselves over to the things that make our flesh happy. Ask yourself this morning, are there things in my life that's coming between me and my service to the Lord? You know, I love that song, "Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior." That's words that we need to strive to live by, folks. This world is full of so much that pleases the flesh and at the same time draws us away from God. We must remember that first and greatest commandment in Matthew 22:37. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." And to do that, it means that we must what? Mortify our flesh daily so that we can have that ever-present relationship with God. Let's read on. Verse 53. "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In the same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are you came out against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all this was done, that Scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook and fled." And they that laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. They were waiting. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and he went in and he sat with the servants to see the end. This is our fifth step in backsliding. It's found in verse 58. It's called following afar off. Following afar off. And this goes along with our last thoughts of keeping God first. You know, when I think about following afar off, I think about being removed from the presence of Christ. And folks, the place that we go to be in the presence of the Lord is two places as far as I'm concerned, and that's the house of the Lord and the Word of God. That's the two places we find ourselves in the presence of God. When people slack in their attendance and slack in their study in the Word of God, I will guarantee you that they are slipping backwards. It's just a fact. Man cannot fellowship with the Lord out on the lake or on the ball field like he can in the house of God. Man cannot go out and fellowship with God in the malls like he can reading in the Word of God. And I want you to understand, I'm not saying that Christians should never have fun, that Christians shouldn't live exciting lives, that they should just go around with sour faces all the time saying, "Woe is me and woe is the world." But listen, when people stop reading their Bible, when people stop coming to the church, when it's not first place in their life, when they think that they can just get in touch with God no matter where they're at, what they're doing, they're sadly mistaken. Sadly mistaken. You want to stay right with God? Don't follow afar off. Don't follow afar off. be in the house of the Lord every single time it's physically able for you to do so. I understand. Not everybody can come 3 times a week. I understand that. But be here every time that you're physically able to do so. I'd like to continue reading in Scripture here, but I'm going to move down to verse number 69. Verse number 69. The verses that we've skipped over are the ones of Christ there as He stands before the high priest and how they're accusing Him. The verse 69 says, and this is our last step, folks. In verse 69 it says, "Now Peter sat without the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee." You see, Peter wasn't here with James. He wasn't here with John. He wasn't here with any of his apostle friends. Instead, we know that he was watching from afar off, and seemingly innocently, he had surrounded himself with unbelievers. Oh, my friends, the dangers a Christian will get themselves into. He surrounds himself with unbelievers. And you know what? It may seem like it's innocent, like it was here for Peter. You know, Peter just desired to look up and to see Jesus. But he surrounded himself with unbelievers. But even worse, my friends, is when we as Christians surround ourselves with lost friends. Our greatest friends in this world should be our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, they don't necessarily have to be members of this church, but they ought to be people who have that common bond in Christ and a common goal in loving Him. Scripture opens up in Psalms 1:1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." That is, blessed is the one who doesn't befriend the counsel of this world. Listen, lost friends will lead you into high water. And high water does what? It carries you away, and it carries you away swiftly. So do your best to sojourn on this earth. Don't get involved with the things of this world, but surround yourselves with the godliest people that you know. Ones that are able to help keep you from falling. And then lastly, we'll now read, beginning in verse 70. "But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him, they said, they that stood by and said unto Peter, Surely thou art also one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man, and immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which he said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly." Here is the last step of backsliding, and that's just full-blown sin. Full-blown sin. Peter, the great, strong man of the Lord, was sifted this night like wheat. He was lying, and he was even cursing. He was trying to blend in with a heathen crowd and denying the God that bought him, afraid to be called a Christian. 3 times he did this, and then the third time, it's not recorded for us here, but over in the Gospel of Luke, towards this, that third time that he denied Christ. Christ was there before the priests. The priests were berating him. They were mocking him, slapping him, spitting upon him. The third time, Christ looked directly down at Peter, cast his eyes directly upon him, knowing exactly that that time had come. Peter looked up and remembered the words as the cock crew. The good thing in the story, of course, is that Peter realized how quickly he had fallen. How quickly he had slidden away. And he was quick to repent of his sins. But Christian friend, this morning is the cock crowing in your life? Is it sounding a warning? As Christ looks at you from the right hand of God, does He look down in a disappointing glare and say, I did all this for you. What have you done for me? If you're here and lost here this morning, lost, you know, the story of Peter's fall ends right here. But if you're here without Christ this morning, this story goes on. And Christ goes from that room there in the high priest, stands before Pilate, and there he's condemned to die upon a sinner's cross that he did not deserve. But there upon that cross, a man who was sinless died for the sins of his elect. There upon the cross is the only place today that we find victory. Victory over death. Victory over an eternity in hell. Christ died for our sins. Every little thing that we've ever done was placed upon Him. Every lie, every drink, every pill, every wicked thought, every little thing, every evil way was cast upon Him. Can you trust in Him this morning? Can you trust in Him? What is it to be saved today? Being saved is when God gives you those two inseparable graces of faith to believe and repentance of the sins in our life. Can you, sinner friend, trust in Him this day? Can you believe in Him? I pray that if the Lord is working within you today, that you might come as we sing. Brother